ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
A body on the train tracks in mysterious circumstances.
Mark's been found on railway tracks.
An award-winning ABC podcast and a fresh inquest underway.
Every time we walk out of that inquest, just being like, oh my God.
You weren't out there on the train tracks that night?
Absolutely not.
As the answers get closer, the podcast is back.
He said he's guilty. He's guilty as sin.
Search for Unravel Blood on the Tracks. It's on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
CCD. Joni Mitchell, wow.
To continue your emotional education.
Rose and flow the angel. And ice cream castles.
And feathered canyons everywhere.
Clouds that way.
But now they only block the sun.
Hello, I'm Andrew Ford. It's the music show on ABC Radio National, and it's another cover story.
I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides.
Both Sides Now was written by Joni Mitchell when she was 21 years old in 1966. But Joni wasn't the first artist to release a version of the song. In true folk tradition, the covers began even before her own version was recorded and released in 1969, and they haven't stopped coming. Joni's recorded several versions of her own. Her return to the song in 2000 was on an album of standards. And most recently, she performed it for the first time in 20 years at the 2022 Newport Folk Festival at the age of 78. And she said she finally became an old lady and could sing the song right. Both Sides Now is our most covered cover story so far. There are over 1,700 versions of this song, and they're in as many styles as you can think of. It was even covered in American Sign Language in 2021 in the film Coda, a version of which Joni Mitchell approved. I don't know whether we can say that she would have approved all of the versions that we're going to be hearing today. For the final episode on this season of Cover Story, we're going to be looking at 9 versions only of Both Sides Now with my guests Alex Raupach and Alice Chance. Here's Joni's first version from the 1969 album Clouds.
Rose and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feather canyons everywhere. Looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now. Away. I've looked at love. corrupted life that we. But now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads, they say I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now.
Joni Mitchell, her recording of her song Both Sides Now, and that's our starting point for today's cover story. Welcome to the music show for the first time, Alex Raupe, multi-instrumentalist, composer and improviser, and welcome back, composer Alice Chance.
Hi Andy.
Where do we start with this song? This is not the first recording, and we will come to earlier recordings in a moment, but this is certainly Joni Mitchell's first proper studio recording. And it's a song which is now incredibly familiar, but at the time that she made that recording, it would have been quite a surprise to people unless they've been hanging around, you know, little clubs and coffee shops where she'd been playing it, because they would have known the Judy Collins version, which was a big hit, which we'll get to, as I said. So the striking thing here for me is the guitar.
Absolutely. I fully agree. This is really open style harmony, and I think it matches the ambiguity of the subject matter of the song. And instead of simple triads that tell you to feel happy if they're major or sad if they're minor, we've got all these suspended chords, open chords, and that's due to the Joni tuning of the guitar, where she's essentially tuned the guitar to a big D major chord, and so that's why you get all that glorious resonance from the guitar.
Yes, and lots of open strings that just ring on like a kind of zither or a psaltery or something.
Yeah, I found a transcription online by Steve DiBartola, and there's even some conjecture about what do we even call this chord? Mm. Some people call it this, some people call it that, and I found that really interesting.
Do you know that famous photograph from 1968? Before she did this recording, she is sitting on the grass and Eric Clapton is there and she's playing the guitar, and Clapton is staring at her hands with this look of astonishment on his face. I mean, I suppose he might have been stoned, but he's clearly trying to work out what it is she's doing.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the photo, but you've painted it very well there.
Look it up. It's a Henry Dilts photograph, and David Crosby's in the photograph too, but it's the expression on Clapton's face that is amazing. Alex, this song, can you sum it up for us? What's important about this song?
I can't sum it up. No one can sum it up. It's one of those songs that just has a life of its own. You can tell that she wrote it in, you know, 5 seconds flat. It's this extraordinarily simple idea of just the triple metaphor, clouds, love, life, and she paints it in the most incredible way. And you can tell from the moment that she wrote it that it was just indelible, and that's how it's played out. I think one of the things that I find really astonishing about this song is that depending on what era you grow up in or how you come to meet it first, you can have a lot of different first meetings with this song. There are a lot of different definitive versions because it's a definitive song. It kind of redefines itself in all of these hands. And so for me, the one that I know is Joni as a much older woman, which I think, you know, we're on a journey to. And so there's an element of shock in going back and hearing her singing her own song at the age of 22, 23, or that's when she wrote it at least. And it's chameleonic.
Yes.
You can't get a handle on it.
You can't. It is a simple song, and yet it was really only the other day when I was listening to it again in preparation for this session that I thought that second verse is in the second person, you know, the dizzy dancing way you feel. And now who is this you? Is this like the dizzy dancing way one feels when one is in love? Is it that kind of you, or is there another person involved? Any theories?
I'd never thought of that, Andy. It had always been the dizzy dancing way one feels.
Yeah.
But it's just as well she didn't write that because it wouldn't have wouldn't have quite rung, would it?
But it's a curious thing to do in the middle of a first-person song because the first and third verses are in first person and then suddenly it's you in the middle.
I think as well, you know, who is she then talking to about the person that is giving a show and leaving perhaps her laughing when they go? I'd like to know who it is.
Exactly so. Well, we can ponder that as we listen to the different versions in our covers story today, and we're going back now in time because that recording that we heard from Joni Mitchell was on her second album, Clouds, which came out in 1969. It was not the first recording, it wasn't even the fourth recording. We're going to listen to the one that made it really famous, also not the first recording. This is Judy Collins. She recorded it in 1967 for her album Wildflowers, and it became a single the following year, and it went into the top 10 in the United States and I think the top 20 in the UK. It was a hit. Here's Judy Collins.
Goes and flows of angel hair and ice cream castle. Everywhere I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy
Judy Collins from 1967. The single came out in 1968, and her version of Both Sides Now, which was the original hit before Joni Mitchell's own version of the song. Well, here we've got straight diatonicism, haven't we, Alice?
Yeah, we really do, with a harpsichord or clavichord that's really having its moment in the spotlight for perhaps far too long.
Yes, I forget who it was who said you should always be suspicious of a pop song with a harpsichord.
Absolutely.
In it.
It's like they zoomed someone in from the Baroque period.
But that said, she sings it beautifully.
Yeah, and what strikes me about this is the placement of I've Looked At, whether it's Clouds or Love. They've got Look on the downbeat, whereas in Joni's version that she records a couple of years later, it's Rest, I've Looked At Clouds, which is a lot more conversational. There's something very theatrical of I've looked at clouds.
I've looked at life that way, but now...
But she's singing it fairly straight. It's a fairly four-square kind of rendition rhythmically, isn't it? Whereas Joni Mitchell's is all over the shop. I mean, the fact that she later became a very accomplished jazz singer, I think is right there in Joni Mitchell's version of the song, but this is much more poppy. And it's the version which Frank Sinatra heard, and he recorded, and his recording of the song, which is, you know, a bit sort of phoned in, also came out before Joni Mitchell's version, but it's clearly based on the Judy Collins recording.
Yes, and the arranging on this recording, I think, kind of goes to show how this song has been a gift to arrangers. I think we're going to hear a lot more of that, how that kind of character of the song revealing itself is so inviting to people who want to work with large forces.
I fully agree with that, Alex, and I think that is a testament to the singular nature of this song, is that you can change the harmony so much, you can change the rhythm so much, and you still recognise the song that it is. It still retains its identity.
Yeah, and Alex's point about the arrangement, I mean, in coming out to that second verse, the orchestra starts doing all sorts of stuff and it becomes really multi-layered as she sings about Ferris wheels and there's all of that fairground imagery happening. And so there is a kind of almost a chaotic orchestration happening, a very sweetly chaotic orchestration.
Sweetly dizzy and dancing
orchestration. Dizzy and dancing, yeah. All right, let's keep moving. On today's music show on ABC Radio National, we're doing a cover story on both sides. Now my guests are Alice Chance and Alex Raupach. Carly Rae Jepsen, this is the B-side of Call Me Maybe.
Carly Rae Jepsen B-side now.
Bows and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air. Feather canyons everywhere. Looked at clouds that way. Now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds.
Carly Rae Jepsen from 2012, her version of Both Sides Now on today's cover story on the music show. Alex Raupach, are you a Carly Rae fan?
Look, I don't mind it. I can come at Carly Rae Jepsen. It's not what I was expecting because I didn't know this version existed before I came on this show. And I don't think it's what first comes to mind when I think of Both Sides Now. So it's interesting to hear it as a bit of a banger sidechained within an inch of its life.
Yes.
But I think it works.
It's a cheery approach to the song, isn't it?
Well, I think it's just driving. The message survives. Even Joni's version sounds driving to me because I'm...
Because of the guitar.
Yeah. And, you know, the Joni version is... That's at 100 beats a minute. You can do CPR to that.
Okay. Have you tried that?
Not yet. I usually go for Staying Alive. But,
yes, that's right.
But they both work.
I guess with the ambiguity of that song, you're sort of looking at that person's life from both sides of, will I be successful with this CPR or not?
Fears and fears and feeling proud. Say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds. I've looked at life that way.
What I like about this version by Carly Rae Jepsen is it's kind of, now I don't know what the technical term would be, it's almost like a pre-chorus. She sings clouds from both sides now, and then bang into I've looked, she repeats it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
She does it the last time as well. And I like that. And it's like a kind of winding up for the proper chorus.
Yeah, it really is. And I hope it's not Carly Rae's listeners that they can't quite handle the density of words, you know, their comprehension rate is a little less. I hope it wasn't conceived with that in mind, because I agree, it just really works musically. I've looked at clouds, and then you just get all that time to enjoy the concept of looking at clouds before you're hit with that second, you know, well, sentence of from both sides now, which really changes.
It's almost like a drop when the chorus comes in after that little moment of reverie. Okay, now, if that was the cheery version, we're going to hear the other version now. And this one is actually called Clouds, and it's Hole.
Thank you.
Well, if you did CPR to that version, you would break a few ribs, I reckon, Alex.
I think so too. I think what's interesting about this is the kind of use of both sides now as a kind of catharsis. It emerges from some pretty hectic music on that album, and I think it's still safe to call it a fairly hectic version in itself, but with that repeating pattern in the distorted guitars, there is a feeling of stasis about it, even though it's not what you might call a pretty version of this song.
No, even though it's pretty on the inside, that's the title of the album, of course. But this is, we were talking about harmony before, there's only one chord.
Yeah, and then in the upper register you have this alternating fifth of like, rah, rah, rah. Yeah. And I think that's a really nice literal expression of the kind of binary of the song so far. This side, that side, over and over. You know, if you like look beyond all that sparkling grunge.
Yeah, yeah. Courtney writes some of her own words in here, as far as one can tell. Certainly isn't singing Joni's words the whole time. And if genius.com is to be believed, it finishes with, "Why are we here, terrified, terrified?" Which is definitely a reinterpretation.
At the same time, you know, she's singing words like that in the same tone and with the same backing as feathered canyons everywhere. So it sort of loses some of the punch.
I think what that goes to for me is the kind of way that this song became a cultural touchstone, because it's much more part of a collage in that context. And so rather than looking at a cover version per se, where it's like a new expression of the spirit of the song, it's rather a use of the song in a different context. It invokes Joni Mitchell in this quite unexpected place.
Yes. I wonder what Joni thought of it.
Yeah, I wonder legally how you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, I think we had to have that one because it is certainly very different. So that was Hole from 1991. Now, here is another one. I don't know whether we could even really call this a cover version exactly, because it's being treated as a jazz standard. This is Mark Isaacs from his album Visions. That's Mark Isaacs' trio from the album Visions. Mark Isaacs on piano, Ben Waples bass, and James Houtman, some very nice brushwork there on drums. You're the jazz musician, Alex. We've gone from a one-chord version to a version where the chords are kind of, you never know what's coming next.
I wouldn't dare to count the chords in this version, Andy. There's a, you know, it's a chord every couple of beats, and they're all quite beautiful. He sure knows how to touch the piano, doesn't he? And beautiful rhythm section playing too. This is back before Ben Waples became Donny Benet.
Yeah.
In a different guise. It'd be nice to hear.
We would love to hear a Donny version, and there probably is one among the 1,700 that exist. We've talked to both Ben and Donnie on the show.
What interests me about this Mark Isaacs version is that after all that beautiful impressionistic harmony that puts a very different colour on the verses and the choruses, he stretches out over a bass pedal for quite a while, and there's a lot of beautiful development and a lot of quite free-flowing improvisation harmonically over that pedal. What interested me about that was that it actually breaks up the 1-2-3 structure of the song.
Yeah.
And I found myself wondering, you could almost make a version of this song that had very few of the elements in place at all, but was held together by that feeling of progression from clouds to love to life.
Yes. And the life at the end is quite dynamic, actually. I mean, it starts out in a very kind of controlled, considered way, but it by the end of what is actually a 7-minute track, it's quite driving and quite dark, and it's gone somewhere completely different.
Struggle a little bit with this cover. It might just be because I'm not as deeply immersed in jazz world as Alex over here, but to me those harmonic choices and leading us to such a dark place is done so confidently. I mean, Mark Isaacs is just a highly accomplished Australian composer, and we're lucky to call him one. And there's something almost very adult about these harmonic choices, whereas Joni has this kind of childlike open chords, sort of the chords you'd get if you're bashing white notes on a piano. And that really complements for me this final sentiment of I really don't know life at all. Whereas I think Mark does. I think he knows life very well from hearing those harmonies. And it's almost a little bit sleazy. It's like, hey, baby, I've seen life from both sides.
18 plus chords. Exactly. I think while we're talking harmony about both sides now, it invites composers to explore diatonic harmony. So like you say, the white notes. What we don't hear very much coming back from that original Joni version is the blues. There's that little blues riff.
Yes.
But again, it just goes to the chameleonic character of this song, where it can be, you know, 100 chords a minute, or it can be one chord.
But this sort of comes back to my remark about whether this is really a cover version or, you know, I mean, when Miles Davis did Love for Sale, it wasn't really a Cole Porter song. It was a Miles Davis tune, wasn't it?
Well, maybe it goes to the different things that a cover can be, in the way that the whole cover was using it as a cultural reference point in a collage, in a way. This is a jazz musician's cover where it's source material for improvisation.
Yes.
Perhaps it's a disc cover.
Ah, very clever wordplay there.
Listeners around Australia just laughing so loud. No. I feel I can hear them now.
Disc over.
Oh, stop.
It's puns from here out.
Can we talk about this as a standard, this song, Alex?
I think you can in a way. Structurally, it works different to an American songbook standard because it is all about that progression from verse to verse, and it's a verse-chorus structure. But many jazz musicians have played it. It's beloved by jazz musicians.
Mm. I mean, it's a wonderful Herbie Hancock version as well.
Absolutely. And the relationship between Joni and jazz is very, very deep. She is one of the finest jazz singers besides being a genius in these other aspects of her life.
Yes. Going back to when we mentioned briefly Frank Sinatra's version, which we haven't listened to and won't, he is so perfunctory, and you listen to it and you think, well, you know, this is one of the great voices of the 20th century, and he should be singing One for My Baby, One More for the Road or something. But that is not a Frank Sinatra song.
But in the same way that Joni is one of the greatest jazz singers, Frank Sinatra is one of the greatest pop singers.
Yeah.
You have these different guises.
That's right. That's right.
And different ways of relating to a song.
Let us move on. We're going to hear Pete Seeger recording the song. This is the same year that Joni's version came out. So Pete's is based partly on the Judy Collins version, but also I think probably on having heard Joni sing the song, even if he hadn't heard her recording.
Bows and flows of angel hair, wispy castles in the air, feathered canyons everywhere, I looked on clouds that way.
But now they only block the sun. They rain and hail on everyone. So many things I could have done, but clouds got in my way. I look on clouds from both sides now, from up and down, but still somehow it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all.
Pete Seeger and his version of Both Sides Now. It came out in 1969 on his album Young Versus Old. And, well, it's a very interesting take in lots of different ways, Alice.
Yeah, we've got a few changes of words. I don't know how many are intentional, but definitely the looking on rather than looking at stands out to me, and especially in the chorus.
Well, which is present tense.
Well,
it's not
yeah.
I've looked at, it's I look at.
Exactly.
Look
like
on.
I look on.
I look on love from both sides now, from win and lose, but still somehow.
It's a bit more optimistic for me. You know, these days I look at both sides, and especially considering the life that Pete Seeger had, you know, leading up to him being age 50 when he's singing this, and you really feel that he has looked at life from both sides now, and both sides, you know, politically.
I think taking ice cream canyons and turning it into wispy canyons is a shame. Ice cream canyons is so much better.
I agree. Sort of like, oh, Joni won't mind.
Deleting the iconic opening metaphor of the song. It's a bit bold, isn't it?
I feel, thank goodness, Carly Rae has brought us plenty of ice cream and sugar in her delivery to make up for it.
But it recalls a different time, doesn't it, when the song was new and fresh and hadn't been canonized yet, and everything was still a bit in flux. And I think that different way of treating a folk song, that different way of understanding what folk music is really instantly evoked by the sound of his guitar, by the way the bass note on his guitar walks around, by the sound of his voice. It's a tremendously evocative thing of a different way of relating to songs.
Yes. So him as well.
Oh, it is. He makes it into a Pete Seeger song just like, even before he starts writing his own words.
Yes.
I love the bit where he says, I wrote her a letter and said, I hope you don't mind. And then we don't hear what she said.
No. We just hear how she has long legs.
Yeah, she has long legs. That's right.
This song was written by a long-legged blonde gal named Joni Mitchell, whom I'm proud to call my friend. I wrote her a letter. I said, Joni, I hope you don't mind. I've written a new verse for it, because I'm hitting a half century this year and have to have something to give my end of the age scale a boost. Daughter, daughter, don't you know you're not the first to feel just so? And let me say before I go, it's worth it anyway. Someday we may all be surprised. We'll wake and open up our eyes, and then we all will realize the whole world feels this way.
But then we have this whole extra verse. I wasn't ready. It took me by surprise. And the way he introduces it by saying, I've added this verse to represent my end of the age scale, that knocked my socks off too, because it made me realise that he was looking at this as a young person's song. Mm. And to me, one of the genius aspects of Both Sides Now is that it is that, and it's also an old person's song. It's a song for all of life that stays true while life changes around you. And the idea that you could have Pete Seeger looking at Joni as a, what does he call her?
Daughter.
A long-legged blonde gal?
Daughter. Oh, yes, and a long-legged.
Long-legged daddy, long-legged.
He also refers
daughter
to her as Joni Mitchells.
Oh, dear.
But she wasn't famous, you know, when he made this recording. That's the interesting thing. I mean, whether this came out before her album, which came out the same year, I don't know.
Me neither.
And the words he adds are, as you say, they're optimistic. There's no kind of, why are we here, terrified about his additions.
At first I thought he was taking liberties in a way that I thought, you know, this takes a bit of chutzpah to add a verse to Both Sides Now. But what I ended up feeling was that for a guy like Pete Seeger, in a way it was his way of canonising the song to say, Joni, this song is bigger than you now. This is public property, because that's how he related to music.
Absolutely. All right. Is it big enough for Helena Bonham Carter, though?
Rose and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way.
That comes from an album for Children in Need, a charity album in 2019 in which a whole bunch of different actors recorded their favourite songs.
Did the children really need this?
I don't know. And you'd think, I mean, Jim Broadbent doing Blue Moon and David Tennant doing The Proclaimers' Sunshine on Leith.
I read that they'd employed at least one vocal coach for the making of this album. And then they slap a bunch of auto-tune on. It's from 2019. We had and still have the technology to have auto-tune that doesn't sound like Jason Derulo. And yet...
To say I love you right out loud.
It makes it sound as though she recorded different verses and possibly even different lines on different days.
Potentially.
Because it keeps changing, doesn't it?
And also we're hearing about how beautiful clouds can be feathered canyons while there's a thunderstorm in the background. And then when she starts to talk about them getting in the way, we've got this sunshine piano. So I wonder if it was maybe done in a bit of a rush.
Or ironically. No, probably not.
It's too clever. It's too clever for us.
Are there any redeeming features, Alex?
It's not one that I'll be returning to in my spare time.
No.
I tell you what, I think the orchestration in this is really, really beautiful. We didn't get to catch much of it in what we heard, but I think for anyone who's an orchestration nerd and especially imagery and orchestration fan, she talks about a fairy tale. We have a harp gliss. She talks about putting on a show and we have these incredible chromatic chords.
It's just another show. You leave and
I actually couldn't find, they weren't credited anywhere, the person who orchestrated this. So credit to you, unsung hero.
Yes, yes. But just a word in praise of Olivia Colman's Portishead cover, which opens the album, because she really can sing. But as for the rest of the album, I think we have to say this one is a bit of a miss.
Well, something's lost, but something's gained. In living every day, I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, but still, somehow, it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know.
Goodness me, Helena Bonham Carter. Now, if you ask Joni Mitchell what her favourite version of this song is, she would say it's the one by Dave Van Ronk, which in fact was the first recording ever of the song under the title Clouds. It came out in 1967. And then there's this version, which is obviously a live recording. We're not sure when it's from. It's a bit of a mystery. It comes from an album called The Mayor of MacDougall Street, Rarities, 1957 to 69. But it sounds like a much older man than the one who, in 1967, recorded the single. Here's Dave Van Ronk.
Rose and flows of angel's hair, ice cream castles in the air and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way. Now they only block the sun, They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds, illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. Dunes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy dancing way you feel as every fairy tale comes real. I look at love that way. Now it's just another show. You leave them laughing when you go. And if you care, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away.
Dave Van Ronk, a live recording of Both Sides Now from an album called The Mayor of MacDougall Street, Rarities. And if anybody knows the provenance of that recording, I would love to hear from the listener with the knowledge, because we've researched it and we can't find out exactly when it was recorded or under what circumstances. It doesn't sound like a well man, though, Alex.
No, but the version comes pretty close to taking the cake for me.
Yeah.
It's quite astonishing to have a performance that feels that frail hang together. And it's almost like a dramatic reading, except you feel like you could fall over at any moment.
Yes, yes. It's very, very delicate. And I think that's what I find so touching about it. But then there's these little explosions of where he punches a word.
Well, something's lost, but something's gained. Living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall.
Yeah, it's incredibly raw. You can tell that he's feeling the meaning of absolutely every lyric. And yeah, he's such an iconic figure of the time, and I think in this recording you can really hear why.
Yes, you can. I mean, it's not very well recorded. The sound overloads in places, but I'm with you. I think it takes the cake. I think this is very beautiful. Talking about old voices singing it, we are, as you alluded earlier, Alex, winding our way towards hearing Joni Mitchell's recording from 2000. She has since recorded it in a live version quite recently. Well, you used the word chameleonic. I mean, even in her voice, it is. It changes when an older voice sings it, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, in a way, the genius of the song is this feeling of unity of life, that you can be the same person at the different end of the spectrum of experience, and everything all comes out in the wash.
Yes.
And to hear that rendered in Joni's older voice, which is just one of the most beautiful instruments we have on this earth, is the old voice of Joni Mitchell, the strength of it, the phrasing of it, the vulnerability of it, and the absolute musicality of it. I said maybe Dave Van Ronk takes the cake, but nothing tops this one for me. It's the version I know best, and it's the version that me and a lot of people I know get completely unraveled by.
It's interesting. I have a preference for her original version, which there's a world weariness in the vocal delivery then as well, back in 1969, Alice.
Yeah, there really is. And I think I'm with you on that one, but maybe in this listening we're about to do, it might change my mind as I watch Alex unravel before me.
That's right.
But yeah, what's really interesting and what makes me kind of happy musically is the Joni tuning that I talked about in getting the guitar to ring out as a D major chord. She's then put a capo on the fourth fret, so she's taking it up four semitones for her younger voice at the time. And here we've come back down to D major. So we're hearing the song in the original tuning of her guitar. It's not squished by any kind of capo taking it up in pitch. And we hear her voice go all the way down to a low D. And if you're reading books about how to write for women's voices, they stop at about a G. So she's gone a whole fourth below. And I think this is a really beautiful glimpse into all the colours that can be achieved by the human voice and how much it can actually go beyond what we can expect.
And you were saying before that we don't know who did the arrangements for Helena Bonham Carter, but we do know for this one. Yeah, the fabulous Vince Mendoza. Would you like to say something about Vince Mendoza, Alex?
Well, Vince Mendoza is just a magician. He can take something that is about to be schmaltzy and just elevate it into something absolutely sublime.
And on this album, which is called Both Sides Now, which came out in 2000, there are only two Joni Mitchell songs. The rest of the songs are by the likes of Harold Arlen and Rodgers and the Hart. In other words, Vince is saying that Both Sides Now and the other song, A Case of You, by Joni Mitchell, are standards, that they belong in the same company as Stormy Weather, for instance.
I think it's partly that, and I think it's partly also Joni putting her own music alongside the music that shaped her, the same way that you see someone like Bob Dylan doing later in their career, going back to the roots of their DNA in the Great American Songbook, you know, a different DNA to the folk DNA that she has, but she has it all. And to hear someone apply that kind of retrospective lens, and then to hear a strain of Wayne Shorter's saxophone enter, which I had forgotten was coming, and that's actually the point at which I unraveled, because Wayne Shorter has recently left us, and at that moment, listening to Joni sing that, I kind of had to contemplate the fact that we're staring down the barrel of a world without Joni Mitchell in it, and that's something that I'm not quite sure I'm ready for.
I think now that you have set that up so nicely, we have to listen to it, and we have to listen to that for Wayne Shorter's saxophone. Alex Rapak, Alice Chance, thank you very much for being my guests on The Music Show. Thank you for doing the last in our current series of cover stories, and maybe we'll see you both back here again for a third series.
Thank you, Andy. What a treat.
Thank you so much, Andy, and I'm so happy to be able to say we've looked at Both Sides Now from nine sides now.
Rose and flows of angel hair, and ice cream castles in the air, and feather canyons everywhere. Looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and they snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's cloud illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds. Moons and Junes and fairies wheels, the dizzy dancing way that you feel, as every fairy tale comes through. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show, and you leave them laughing when you
And if you can, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love's illusions that I recall. I really don't know love. Really don't know love at all. Tears and fears and feeling proud to say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds. I've looked at life that way. Oh, but now, old friends, they're acting strange. And they shake their heads and they tell me that I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow.
Joni Mitchell on the album Both Sides Now in 2000 when she was 56 years old.
I really don't know life.
The late Wayne Shorter Sax there, closing our final episode of Cover Story Season 2. Season 3 is already in the works for next year. The music show is produced by C. Benedict, Salome Lyons-Morrison and Ellie Parnell. Technical production from Ni Adpuyibi and Simon Branthwaite. And the show was made on Gadigal, Gundungurra and Wurundjeri Woi Wurrung country. Coming up on the music show, new opera arias with Jessica O'Donoghue, creative reassembly of Assyrian music with Lolita Emmanuel, and a purple patch for pianist Paul Grabowski.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.